Well, well, here we are.
All right, people, we're gonna try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm gonna tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it very much. Time for our Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt Rogers from Affordable Interest Mortgage. Kurt, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing fine, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I appreciate you joining us as you do every week. Talk to us. I know it's a question right now that's at the, you know, basically the tip of everybody's tongue. What are rates doing?
Actually, the rates have settled back down. There was a lot of talk about rates continuing to go up, and it scared people. And part of that was because of inflation, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the Feds have they have guaranteed they're going to keep coming in and buying the bonds, which is going to keep the rates down because 30-year mortgage rates are determined by the bond market. Inflation can happen, but it's not going to affect the rates. So they've started to settle back down to 3% to underneath 3% again, and we believe they're going to stay in that range.
I was just going to say, is that what we're looking at for most of the summer? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I don't see them going up a whole lot. Nobody's talking about raising them. Even if inflation goes, it's not going to affect the rates that. Because the guarantee that the Feds have come up said, we're in this for the long term. They want to keep rates down because they know the importance of what it does in the housing market, which has a ripple effect across the economy.
Okay, so give us, and I know this is longer than a minute, but the crazy prices here in Colorado, where do you see those things headed?
I don't see them slowing down. One of the things I'm noticing now is because in some neighborhoods, a house might, you know, 6 months ago been worth $500, now it's worth $600, and everybody thinks their new house is going to appraise for $600. When you're looking at comps, they take a little bit longer to take an effect to get up. And when an appraiser looks at a house, he has to look at the last 6 months, and that's the last 30 or 60 days.
Got it.
But I see the prices continuing to rise. They might slow some, but until we get more homes on the market and the builders get more houses built, It's going to be crazy throughout the summer.
All right, what are we doing tomorrow on Haystack Help?
We're going to be talking to Kelly, who deals with senior care and senior home facilities.
All right, that's perfect. Kurt, as always, how do folks get a hold of you, sir?
720-895-0500, or they can go to the website at aimortgage.net.
With that, I'll let you go. Kurt, as always, thanks.
Bye.
Have a great week. And that, again, is Kurt Rogers, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, Franktown Firearms, I said it earlier today, and I'll continue to say this. I'm guessing right now you're about a five-day wait in buying a gun. So if you're a first-time buyer, keep that in mind. If you're somebody looking to add to what you already own, keep that in mind as well. You will not be able to walk in, pick up the gun, you know, buy it, do the background check, and then leave with it. You will have to leave that with them. You still pick it up. You still look at it. You still go through the paperwork. You still pay for it, but you don't pick it up until your background check comes back as okay to buy, and that right now is about 5 days. You can do that all at Franktown Firearms. Find them at klzradio.com. They've got good inventory of both guns and ammo, and, of course, training is always there. 720-770-7777.
Regardless of your starting point, Franktown Firearms will take your shooting skills a level up. Maybe you've never shot a gun before, and you want to get over your fear of pulling the trigger. Maybe you consider yourself an experienced marksman, but you've never received tactical training, and you want to develop muscle memory to respond in any situation. Head trainer Karen Murray and her team of trainers at Franktown Firearms design their classes to cater to your level of ability and prior knowledge, offering a diversity of firearms platforms from static to moving and shooting to target acquisition engagement. For Rush to Reason listeners only, sign up for a range membership now by filling out the contact form at klzradio.com/Franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee plus your first month free. Range members receive a discount in the shop as well as a discount on all classes. Franktown Firearms, confidence through practice.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. David William joining us now. David, welcome back. Rush to Reason, president of TPA, or the Taxpayers Protection Alliance. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Well, I say that I'm good, but I just read that the budget deficit for the first 6 months of this budget year is $1.7 trillion. And, you know, maybe we shouldn't be blaming Trump anymore. This is something that's happening under Biden. And listen, both Republicans and Democrats are responsible for this outrageous spending.
They are. In fact, and people have heard me say this before, and I'm not throwing Donald Trump under the bus by any stretch of the imagination. It was one of the things that I disagreed with him on was the spending end of things. And I understand there's a lot that goes into that from, you know, the House of Representatives who sets budgets to, you know, on down the line we go. And I get that. But David, to your point a moment ago, both parties are at fault when it comes to some of what we do spending wise.
Yeah, they sure are. And, you know, I wish that in the 4 years of Donald Trump, and listen, he did some really great things with tax reform. I just wish he would have addressed the spending part of it.
Agree.
And, you know, drawn a line in the sand somewhere along the way and, you know, vetoed appropriations bills.
And David, that brings me to another, by the way, appreciate you saying that. It brings me to another question, because there's a huge debate, even with some of the folks I bring on from the financial sector. You know, when I bring them on as guests, there are those out there that claim that that's not even doable anymore. That ship has sailed. It's never going to happen again. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing if I thought that was if that ship has sailed, because I think we have to keep on, you know, beating this drum and fighting this fight. And I'm a little bit more optimistic. And listen, there's not a lot to be optimistic about. You know, the government spending $6 trillion on COVID relief. And, you know, where did it go, right? But I think that people are becoming a lot more aware of this, and I'm hoping that we see the rebirth of the Tea Party when it comes to spending. And I think it's just getting so out of control. And, you know, this infrastructure bill they're talking about now, you know, $2.5 trillion, $4 trillion, who knows how much it's going to be.
Right.
But I think people are just, you know, they've had enough. And so I think we're starting to see that exhaustion. Well, I'm hoping we've seen that exhaustion.
Well, when you look through, and I've broken it down here on the program a couple of times so far, David, and so have, by the way, a lot of left-leaning publications, which I'm really shocked that they've even broken the thing down as far as some of them have, because when they break it down and you actually look at what's being spent, you know, what the money's being spent on in this, I really say, quote-unquote, infrastructure bill, it is anything but infrastructure, David. That is the smallest fraction of what's going on there. And I, to your point, when people read where this money is actually going and what it's being spent on, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that when there's only $115 billion out of whatever you just said, $2.5 trillion, is going to be spent on actually roads and bridges, how do you call it an infrastructure bill?
Yeah, that's shocking. And there are a lot of red flags. Well, I should say green flags, because a lot of money is going towards green energy. But I guess the one thing that really jumps out at me are the electric vehicles, and that they're getting $174 billion for electric vehicles. And part of that is to build 500,000 charging stations across the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, what gets me, imagine if taxpayer funds were used to build gas stations.
Right.
People would be losing their mind. I mean, they should be losing their mind about these charging stations, but, you know, there's no way that they would build gas stations, but yet there seems to be this acceptance of, you know, building these
charging
stations.
Yeah, and Dave, and you, by the way, I agree with you. And I'm an electric vehicle owner only because of what I do on the weekends with my automotive program, and I wanted to know firsthand how they worked, all the ins and outs, the goods, the bad, and so on. And I feel like, David, I can talk to electric vehicles probably better than most journalists can because I actually own one. I can tell you the limitations. I can tell you what class of individual can actually own one. I mean, I can go through all of the good, bad, the ugly when it comes to electric vehicles that most folks in the journalistic industry can't do, David. And I will tell you right now that, yeah, there are severe limitations to those vehicles. As much as they're great, they're fun to drive, I'm a car guy. I mean, they're great. I love them as far as acceleration and all that goes. But there are so many other limitations that you get in one of those. Let me just say this right now. There is no way you can own one of those as your main everyday driver and not have other means of transportation if you're going to go outside of the city.
And that's fascinating to hear from someone who actually owns an electric vehicle. And, you know, we're not saying don't buy them. What we're saying is taxpayers shouldn't subsidize
them, especially
when you're looking at an infrastructure bill, and $174 billion is more than what they're going to spend on roads, on bridges.
You know, right.
So that's the problem that I have is that, yes, if you want an electric vehicle, knock yourself out and go pay for it. I just don't want to pay for it as a taxpayer.
By the way, I'm with you, and you, of course, you would have already known and assumed that, and I also don't want anybody else paying for the infrastructure that it takes. You know, I'm one that believes, and you know this, if they're going to make it, they need to make it on their own accord. They need to make it because they're better than a gasoline engine. They need to make it because, you know, people can, you know, whether it's saving money or whether they like the acceleration side of the fence, you know, all of that combined, I want them to win on their own merit, not because somebody else came along and prop them up. And I think what happens, and this is a whole nother, we go 3 hours on this, David, but what happens is when we subsidize these things the way that we have, and we're already seeing this right now, when you subsidize them, you don't even get the innovation and the ingenuity that you would normally get out of the free market when you do this. And folks that are listening to me, please hear me when I say this. The best ingenuity right now coming out, get this, David, is really coming out of GM and Tesla. And get this, they're getting the least amount, those two companies are getting the least amount of subsidies from the government, and yet they're producing the best engineering, if you would, or the best technology moving forward when it comes to what they're bringing to the marketplace.
Well, that's right. And I would love to talk about automobiles for the whole time, because if you look at the American ingenuity when it comes to automobiles, I mean, please, you know, unsurpassed by any country.
That's right.
Talking automobiles, and you know, I drive a Jeep Wrangler, and I've driven a Jeep Wrangler since 1997. So, you know, I love my off-road vehicle, but it is about, you know, the marketplace. It is about the free market and really competition. And you know, we are a country. We love our cars, and we love to travel.
David, I'm going to rephrase that. We love the freedom that cars bring us. And I think that's the one thing that I continue to focus on and why I'm such a big car guy, I guess, David, is cars bring freedom. And what I see every time we try to push some of these things through when it comes to EV vehicles is, in a sense, David, we're trying to limit people's freedom. That's how I see it.
Yes. And when you look at renewables in general, you look at, you know, solar power, where, you know, how many years ago did we have Solyndra? You know, $500 million to Solyndra that went belly up. And that's not an isolated incident.
Right.
We're talking tens of billions of dollars to the solar power industry. And it's just, you know, it's still, 3 or 4% of our energy generated in this country because it's not efficient. The technology isn't there. And, you know, with drilling and with oil, we have become energy independent. Obviously, we're taking a step backward when you cancel the Keystone XL pipeline, when you stop drilling, but we got to a place under the Trump administration where we were exporting natural gas,
right.
And it was a wonderful thing to see that because it was benefiting people economically. It wasn't just, and I don't care about the oil industry per se. I care about the people that work in it. But, you know, these were good-paying jobs.
Right.
These were people that were employed in this industry, and now they're being thrown out, and they're losing their jobs, which has, you know, even more economic consequences.
All because we've got politicians out there talking, and I don't think they even believe in this, David, because I think they're smarter than what they they seem to be. They don't believe this stuff is going to be viable any more than you and I do. They're doing it because they're trying to push an agenda through that, frankly, I think will cripple the United States of America, bring it to its knees, and that's their end goal when it's all said and done. So don't anybody think for one second these folks believe green energy is the answer. They believe green energy is the answer in crippling the country. That's how I see it, David.
And it's virtue signaling. It's that they think they have to say these things.
That's right.
They think that this is what people, you know, want to hear. And what people want to hear is the truth and honesty. And we haven't heard that in a very long time. You know, we heard all of this money to help, you know, schools reopen was going to help them reopen. Well, guess what? Schools haven't reopened. We have spent literally hundreds of billions of dollars,
right,
and the schools are still closed.
And yet all we keep hearing about, I saw it in news today, David, we need more money to be able to catch kids back up to what's been happening through the pandemic. They're still asking for more money.
They are. And, you know, we keep on spending the money, but it's not getting to the schools. And then you have the teachers unions that are refusing to go back and to open these schools. And yet the science tells us, the science says it's okay. It's okay to open these schools, but the teachers unions refuse to do that. And we're spending, again, hundreds of billions of dollars, and it's going nowhere.
That's right.
It's not opening the schools. That's why I'm frustrated, is that this is going to have a long-term effect on children.
Agree.
You know, I'm glad that I am not 7 or 8 years old, because I can't imagine, you know, what would happen to me and my development if I had to go through this. So I feel so bad for these children and really for the parents.
Well, and throw the electric car thing right back in here, David, because they tell you what they want or what they think they want you to hear. And let me use this example. You rarely hear anybody in the news media or on the liberal left talking about how, and this is a fact, David, that unless you've got the ability to put your EV inside at night and charge it, good luck on driving it the next day. You're never going to hear any of them talk about that. You'll never hear any of them talk about the fact that in Colorado, when we get below about 28 degrees outside, you're losing 30 to 40% of your distance, of your range, if you would. It's the same thing when we start talking about the education system, David. They're only talking about the things that they think we want to hear, not the truth.
That's right. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned about the charging, because I was watching a commercial and they said, you know, you can go 300 miles on a charge. Okay, well, what happens after that? It's going to take you 2 hours to charge your vehicle. So if you're driving across the country and you drive that 300 miles, I mean, if I'm driving my Jeep, it takes me 5-10 minutes, right, to fill up. Well, not so lucky if you're an electric vehicle.
Well, yeah, and real quick for everybody listening, and a little education even on your side, David, there's two ways to do that. In my particular situation, level two charging, you average about 50 miles an hour of charge. So actually 300 miles, if you do it the traditional way, would take you about 5 to 6 hours to get back to up to that 300 miles. Now, there are DC charge stations, which, by the way, not every EV vehicle even comes equipped with DC charge capability. That's another sometimes option that you have to actually spec out on the vehicle when you buy it, which, by the way, nobody out there besides somebody like myself even understands what's going on there. And as they put in this infrastructure across the country, the other question I've got, David, is are we going to put in level two charging stations? Are we going to put in DC charge stations, which then could give you that 300 miles in back to your 10-15 minute time frame you maybe get out of the Jeep? Again, there's a lot of things going on here that you never hear anyone in the press or on the left, the politician side of the fence, ever talk about. And David, I don't know whether it's because they don't know or they choose not to know.
They choose not to know because the information is out there, is that they choose to only read one set of facts and they refuse to tell the whole story on this. And when we talk about these charging stations, listen, 500,000 is not going to do it.
No.
I mean, that is just,
no, it's not.
Just a small fraction of what's needed. And who's going to pay to charge these cars? You know there's going to be a government program. Taxpayers are going to pay to operate these charging stations. So this is just the beginning of the expense for the American taxpayer. So when we talk about $174 billion for EVs in this infrastructure package, it's going to be a lot more in subsequent budgets because they need taxpayer money. They will not survive on their own.
And real quick, and I'm sorry, I could have looked this up myself, but I was looking something else up while you were talking. How many charge stations are they talking about putting in?
500,000, 500,000.
500,000. Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure that I had my ducks in a row there to see how that goes. And for everybody listening, that's, because what I looked up real quick, David, was how many gas stations do we have in the United States? We have 168,000. But things, again, what you have to make sure is we compare apples to apples. That's not 168,000 pumps. That's 168,000 stations that in some cases will have anywhere from, what, David, on the low side, probably 12 pumps to as many as 30 or 40?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you've seen these mega gas stations along the highway that have, you know, 30 or 40 pumps. So that's right. I mean, we're talking about, you know, a lot more than that. So
yeah, so absolutely. I mean, my point is you got to take the 168,000 and easily probably multiply that by 20, which means we have 3.3 million pumps in the country.
Yeah, and you know, these are all privately run, and you know, I've never seen a gas station ask for a handout. I've never seen it in a bill. I've never seen legislation that gives taxpayer money.
No, in fact, you know, the truth be told, David, most of those stations run on a, you know, 2 to 5 cent per gallon profit. They make it off of selling cigarettes, candy bars, and and no-dos. I mean, let's face it, that's where they make their money. They don't make it off of selling gas in the first place.
Well, and you know, these are the same people that want to spend hundreds of billions of dollars on high-speed rail.
Yeah, right.
Another
pie-in-the-sky dream
just is not going to, you know.
It's not feasible.
Spending time on it, it's not feasible. And, you know, going from Washington, D.C. to Chicago, let's say, it's about a two-hour plane ride. It's a 24-hour train ride.
Right.
Why the heck would you be on a train for 24 hours and you're spending about the same kind of money on a train that you
I'll give you the answer, David, and I think it goes with electric vehicles. Again, part of the reason why I bought one was to learn some of these things. It's all about control, David. We've seen that all the way through COVID, and people think I'm crazy. When I say so, some of my liberal friends think I'm crazy, I'm not, David. This is about control. EVs mean more control. Train versus plane means more control. Every one of these things that you're seeing, including most of what's in that particular quote-unquote infrastructure bill, David, it's not about infrastructure. It's about control. If anybody out there is listening to me, read the proposals as to what they're going to spend money on and tell me I'm wrong, David.
It's about control, and it's about the Democrats having control of the House and Senate. They know that this is the time is winding down on them. They know that they may lose the Senate, they may lose the House in 2022, and that's why you're seeing all these massive bills being pushed through, especially infrastructure. And they're talking about a care infrastructure, which includes Medicaid, which includes child care, which obviously isn't infrastructure.
No.
I mean, let's call it for what it is. It's not infrastructure, but the Democrats see a closing window, and that's why they're doing all of this in such a quick amount of time.
All right, talk about the TPA and how folks find you, David.
We're at protectingtaxpayers.org, and we're just trying to be the voice of people in Washington, D.C. when we see these bills. And when I want people to reach out to TPA, but I want you to reach out to your member of Congress. When you see an infrastructure bill, when you see these subsidies, you have to call your member of Congress and let them know that you're upset with this, because that's the only way. And you have to vote. My goodness, in Iowa, we had an election that was decided by 6 votes.
Right.
People need to remember to vote because it really makes a difference.
Well, and I also want to make sure folks understand that, and I've named it, David, it is not the infrastructure bill. It is the largest pork belly bill I've ever seen in my entire life living on the face of this planet, because it is nothing to do about infrastructure. This is all about cronyism and paying back those that got you elected.
And don't forget, Republicans and Democrats have both agreed to bring back earmarks. Just in time for an infrastructure bill, both parties have said, yes, we want to bring earmarks back.
Yep.
That should send a chill down anybody's spine.
David, as always, I appreciate you joining us. It's always great to have you. And yeah, you want to talk cars anytime, let me know. That's right up my alley. I love that.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it very much. And again, we'll come right back. Golden Eagle Financial is up next. And Al would love to help you. We just got done talking about taxes and the future and finances and where are we headed and where are you going and so on. And how are you going to deal with all of this on your own? Talk to Al today. He's a financial advisor. It's what he does. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
Feel good about your retirement with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. You've already done the heavy lifting by setting money aside for retirement all these years. Now you're looking about 10 years ahead and asking, how can I be certain I'll have enough income in retirement? That's where creating a plan becomes vitally important. Al Smith will help you develop a strategy for the money waiting in your 401k or IRA. For the past 16 years, financial advisor Al Smith has specialized in helping his clients make the transition from working to retirement. He will help you make decisions now that will preserve your life savings for the future, like creating a plan to fund a long-term healthcare crisis should that become necessary. You've worked hard for your money. Now let's make sure your money works hard for you. Schedule a free consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial now at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
This happens to me far more than I think it should. Hi, this is Richard Beatty, KLZ 560. I will find a word that applies and form an acrostic that becomes a teachable moment. Today's word, boys and girls, is track. Think of it. I invest in Fitbit to track my steps, calories burned, duration, and miles. I track my money and investments, and I track my projects and my progress. I track my thoughts, responsibilities, and my actions, my creative ideas, and my knowledge. T-R-A-C-K. Integrity is the connective tissue between who I am at home, through my work, and in my community. Are you tracking? Track where you go online. klzradio.com/accountable.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations. Because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter @RushToReason and on Facebook.com/RushToReason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Dr. Anthony Harper joining us now. Dr. Harper, how are you today, sir?
Well, I'm very thankful, John. It's great to join you again. And
always.
Close to the White House, about 5 miles away here. Something new that has come up here is about the White House Correspondents Association. is not allowing me access to the White House this week. They say it's because of the lottery issue, that I didn't win the lottery, but it's more likely that it's that, you know, this lottery is rigged for the liberal media.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking with another White House journalist, and she was in agreement about that issue, and talking with another journalist as well.
So, and real quick, Dr. Harper, who controls the lottery?
The White House Correspondents Association, and it's very liberal, and it's really an arm and arm of the government. That's the my main concern is about this. Is really is a propaganda organization.
Yeah, it's really, in other words, it's not even a real lottery, is what you're trying to say.
No, not a real lottery, and so I don't trust the leadership, the White House Correspondents Association. Of course, they were the ones that hired that very vulgar comedian that made a mockery out of Sarah Sanders, really bad language stuff, and I asked them to apologize to her. They never did, and haven't been very comfortable about this. And I really don't want to be a member of the White House Correspondents Association, part of that club of, propaganda people.
All right. So where do you go from here, Dr. Harper?
Oh, I think it would really be good to have a lawsuit, a class action lawsuit to sue the White House Correspondents Association as well as the White House. That would be the only thing to really bring attention And
how many folks do you, I know there's others there that feel the same way you do. How many do you think you'd end up with doing that?
20 to 30.
Okay. Sizable.
Could be a lot more. Yeah, there's a Jewish journalist on this complaint letter with me, and it's a wide range of journalists that are really upset about this. And it's the issue of freedom of the press that's greatly under assault. And you've seen those video interchanges with Jennifer Psaki, the press secretary.
Yes, unfortunately. Yes, I have. You're right. You're correct. Okay, so if folks want to get involved on this or just know what's going on, get the updates and so on, where do they go?
Well, we just invite people to just check out my YouTube channel. Our news website is imcnews.org. People can contact me through that, but they definitely need a lot of prayer. A major assault on freedom of the press, and I'm in the middle of it, and trying to ask you really challenging questions of the administration.
Which you're not getting any answers to at this point, correct? You're just basically getting stonewalled.
Other than no comment. But, you know, I think I'm asking the most challenging questions when I'm dealing with different forms of anti-Semitism here and human rights violations. I have an upcoming interview with the Prime Minister of Exile of the Uyghur people, those people that are in the Chinese internment camps.
Mm-hmm.
Be meeting with him and an updated video interview with him. This administration is very pro-China, and they're not going to do anything about human rights violations, especially when you think of children being killed in abortion.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong. I've not studied this fully, so I need to do more research on it, Dr. Harper. But isn't there some atrocities, even as we speak? I mean, outside of what normally happens in China, isn't there some larger atrocities happening right now in China when it comes to some of the things you just mentioned and Christians in general, people of faith?
Well, you know, obviously Christians are being mistreated. They've been there and mistreated for a long time. Pastors being abused and imprisoned for having church. Christians have been persecuted greatly. I would say a lot more than the Muslims in China. But, you know, really, there are actually Christians in these in the Uyghur population that are in these internment camps. They're a very small minority in that region, from what I understood from the Prime Minister in Exiles, that region of China used to be a strong Christian population.
Hmm. Amen. Okay. This is good stuff. I appreciate you joining us, Dr. Harper. As always, have a great evening and keep us informed, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I wish you all the best, and thanks for your prayers. It's a great success.
We'll do it. Thank you, Dr. Harper. I appreciate it very much. Producer Ann is joining us now. Ann, welcome. How are you?
Good, John. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for joining us.
See, I just wanted you to know while you were gone, if you missed anything, you can go to our show notes page. You want to go to rushtoreason.com/link, click on the date, and the whole page will open up with what we had on the show that day. So we had on Jim Dennison on Thursday in the Dennison Forum, and he mentioned a couple of books. Those are listed in there.
Okay.
They talked about Asa Hutchinson's Meltdown. You can see the actual video with Tucker Carlson in there. And so when you go through the show notes, you can click and it'll take you right to the interview in our SoundCloud. So you don't have to search SoundCloud back and forth with what's going on. So,
perfect.
And then also I wanted to mention this too, because this one's really important. The Gregory Rice Stone on climate change, he was on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
He has an app that you can carry around with you. Well, I took a picture of the app so you know exactly what to look for. So if you go to the show notes page on Thursday, you'll see the picture of the app, and then you can find what you're looking for.
Very cool.
So I kind of feel like I was your Karen.
Oh, you're doing great. No, you're doing great.
For you.
No, this is awesome. I appreciate all the upgrades, and I know all our listeners do as well. To your point, it just makes things so much easier to find. And Ann, I do. I really appreciate what you're doing there. It's just great. It's awesome.
Thank you. And I'm a news person. I listen to a lot of podcasts and stuff and other shows, and I like, what was that book or what would they say? And I want to go back and find it, but I don't want to invest the time. So you don't have to invest any time. You just get on the page and you can
find
it. And then Jersey Joe has sent me in some funny cartoons too, so I put those on the show notes
page too. Ann, you're awesome. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, John. You have a good day.
I will. We'll see you a little later this week. She's going to be joining us in person later this week. I'll get to meet with her. So I appreciate Ann. That's Dan's brother, by the way, but she's done a great job for us in the past. She's back at it now with us and has done some great things on the website. If you get a chance, just go there, rushtoreason.com. Check it all out. We've got everything. She has got everything archived there and doing a great job on all of that as well. And I appreciate all of her hard work. Joe is joining us next. Joe, what's going on, sir?
John, welcome back. Condolences.
Thank you.
I know it's probably a tough week. I know time is short here too. Just want to.
You're fine. Go ahead. We're good. We're good. Take your time. We're good.
Did you hear about the shooting in Knoxville today?
I saw something pop up on my news feed. Fill me, and I've not had a chance to go look at it because I've been on air, of course.
There was a shooting in a high school in Knoxville, and apparently, still not firm, but it looks like it was a teenage gangbanger. In the past month, there's been three other teenagers in that school not in the school, but who have attended the school, have been shot in street violence in and around the Knoxville school. And it appears to be, you know, black-on-black gang violence. And today, again, not yet confirmed, but it appears to be that this was just another related incident.
So in other words, we should be careful of the headlines we read.
Be careful of the headlines you read. And, of course, the liberals, and 4 days ago, coincidentally, no connection, The governor of Tennessee signed a bill allowing permitless, not concealed carry, but open carry, which is standard in most states, including Colorado. And well, see, this governor's fault. He signed that bill, and 3 days later, we have a school shooting. If this isn't time for more common sense gun control laws. Now, 17-year-old gangbanger can't legally own or possess a pistol.
There's already gun control measures in place to make sure that doesn't happen, Joe. I guess they failed.
They failed. But so am I asking the question, what new constitutional gun control measure would have prevented this school shooting today?
None. Zero,
none.
Joe.
Zero.
None. And by the way, and you know this as well as I, but I want to make sure that the left understands this full well. There is no such thing as common sense gun control. It doesn't exist.
Not workable. Well, but what they think is a common sense is completely by. We have between 5 and 10 million illegal guns on the street right now. Mm-hmm. You know, 500,000 guns get stolen from homes and cars every year.
Right.
And that's where 17-year-old gangbangers get their guns. They don't buy them at gun shows. They don't use the...
Yeah, they're not a Cabela's buying a new gun.
No, and there's no, quote, gun show loophole. You don't see 17-year-old gangbangers at gun shows trying to buy guns from private sellers.
No.
That's not where these guns are being...
You know, and Joe, and I can tell you this because I've known enough gun show owners and I've had enough of them that I've interviewed over the years that even if... a 17-year-old looks like he's 21. I know enough of these guys to know full well that if something smells fishy, they're out. They're not even going to run the paperwork.
Right. And, by the way, when you go to a gun show, if it's a legal seller with selling a legal gun, he's going to want fair market value. If you watch the CBS special, The Guns of Chicago, you can buy a hot gun for $100. Now, nobody's going to sell you a $300 or $400 gun. For 100, in fact, at one point, the female reporter says to a 17-year-old gangbanger with a bandana over his face, and he's got a gun in his waistband, "How tough is it to get a gun?" And he looks her right in the eye and says, "$30 and 30 minutes. Do you want one?"
Right. Right.
Who's going to go to a gun show if you're a bad guy or a crook or a felon? Why are you going to go to a gun show? And even if you could find somebody who's willing to sell you the gun, he's going to charge you $300, $350, $400 for the gun. Why would you do that when you can buy one for $30, $40, or $50?
You wouldn't. And the other thing too, just to add to this right now for everybody listening, especially those of you maybe that are a little less informed and or on the left. And Joe, I mean this sincerely. Some folks may call in and argue with me, but you cannot buy in today's world what I would consider to be a decent, high quality pistol for under $500.
About right. I mean, there's some
I know knockoffs in some what I would consider to be quote unquote lesser brands where yes, you might be able to save a little money and spend less money. But again, Joe, for me personally, there's not a gun on the market I would buy that's worthy of purchase in my opinion that's under $500.
Well, Springfield or you're in that $500-$600 range.
Hey Joe, we're losing you. Are you still there?
I'm still here.
There we go. We lost you. There you go. Better signal. There we go. That's better. Say that again.
Yeah, but if you want a SIG or a Glock or a Springfield,
right?
You're Smith and Wesson. You're in that $500 or $600 range,
right.
And you're not talking a $30 or $40 gun.
No, they don't exist. Again, Joe, to your point, that price range just does not exist, and it just cracks me. There's an article today on one of our local publications, where do the guns come from? And it goes through this litany of, the quote-unquote mass shootings that we've had in Colorado, and who sold the guns, and where did they get them, and did they acquire them legally, or did they steal them? And it just cracks me up, because they all think that by having tougher gun control laws, you're going to somehow end this. You're not.
You're not. And by the way, Chicago Police Department puts out a report called the Gun Trace Report, where they trace back the guns they recover in Chicago. And I think over a 3-year period, they recovered 7,000 guns. And many of them came from Indiana. They were purchased in gun stores. And the liberals say, see, the people are going over the state lines and buying them and bringing them back. No, that's not what's happening. First of all, under federal law, John, you and I, or nobody can, under federal law, can go to another state, purchase a gun in that state, and walk out of the store and bring it home.
Right.
Federal law says you can buy it there, but you can't take possession. It has to be shipped back to a gun dealer in your home state where you must go to pick it up and comply with all the rules and regulations of your home state. The reason these guns are coming from Indiana is that the crooks are stealing them from homes and cars in Indiana because guns are more plentiful. More homes have guns in Indiana. Gary is 30 minutes from Chicago. They steal them in Indiana and then bring them into Chicago because supply and demand, just like drugs, guns are scarce in Chicago. So the thieves who steal them in Indiana, after they steal them, they sell the stolen guns in the streets of Chicago. They're not selling them in Indiana. They're selling them in Chicago. That's why the guns are coming in from out of state.
Joe, I'll leave you with that. Well done. I appreciate it, sir. As always, thanks for all your support. Bill and Boulder, hang tight. We'll come right back to you. Extreme Auto Repair is up next. We heard him in the first hour, guys. Anything you need for your vehicle as we head into this springtime in the Rockies, if you would, please make sure you go to Extreme Auto Repair. Make sure your vehicle's in top working order. KLZradio.com or 303-841-1071.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Kevin Flesh, folks, no matter what your legal troubles are, he's there to serve you, and I mean that, serve you. He'll go to court if need be. He'll make sure that you're properly represented and get the money you have coming that's deserved to you. And it's Flesh and Beck, 303-806-8886. Again, 303-806-8886, and it's spelled F-L-E-S-C-H. It's fleshlawfirm.com.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
Networks change, benefits change, prescription plans change, and premium costs go up. So you want an independent broker who will compare plans from many different insurance companies, hunting for the right coverage at the best price for you. Group Insurance Analysts, 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Bill and Boulder joining us now. Bill, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, John. Sorry to hear about your personal news.
Thank you.
It's always a hard thing to deal with, but it's good to have you back.
Thank
you,
sir.
Good to hear your voice back on the radio, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, I wanted to kind of follow up on a conversation you and Joe were having about gun control.
Yeah.
Laws. And you know, it's kind of funny. There was an issue. You don't even need a gun anymore. It turns out you just need to not really care about your fellow man and just care about what they have more than you do. And I'm referring to the story of the Uber Eats driver, a 66-year-old Pakistani man who was killed when two teenage girls, I think they were 14 and 15 or 15 and 16, I think it was, back in Washington, D.C., they stole this man's car. And I'm not sure how they actually gained control of it, but he was trying to stop them, and they were in the car, and they drove away. Excuse me. And so he was hanging on in the door. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he should have mm-hmm. let the car go.
Mm-hmm.
And they pinned him between the door and the car when they hit a light post, killed him, and then they rolled the car. And they weren't even concerned about him. They were running back to the car to get their cell phones before they ran off. It was just, it's tragic. And to add insult to injury, everybody involved in this was a person of color. And the mayor of D.C. didn't call the fact attention to the fact that I think they said in 2019 or 2020, I think there were 3,700 carjackings and stolen vehicles in Washington, D.C. So she wasn't calling attention to the fact that, you know, people have lost their way and lost their hearts, and all of this violence is being perpetrated mm-hmm. against, you know, your fellow citizen.
Right.
She was just saying, she almost made like this trite little PSA with a motto of something about, you know, lock your auto and save your car or something along those lines. Didn't even acknowledge that this man had lost his life because these two miscreants, 16 and 15-year-old girl. And
yeah, it's interesting too, you know, Bill, and I'm reading, I'd forgotten about that. I just pulled it back up so I could reread it. I'd forgotten all about it until you just said so.
Yeah.
And we're not, to your point, you're not hearing about this anywhere in the news media, but you'll hear about this thug, this gangbanger, if you would, that shot up the school in Tennessee. You'll hear all about that, but you won't hear about these two girls killing this guy.
Absolutely. And you know, honestly, here in Boulder, you don't even really hear too much about the 10 people who were killed there.
No, that's a done deal. No, mainly because a white guy with a gun didn't do the killing, Bill. A Muslim with a gun did.
I hate to say it, but I think you're right.
Yeah.
You know, and it turns out that I actually knew one of the Denny Stong. He was the young kid that was killed there.
Yeah.
Turned out that I kind of knew him. I didn't know him really well, but I talked to him 2 days before he died.
Oh, wow.
He was a great kid. He was just full of life. And, you know, and just, but it doesn't, it's not about the implement. It's about the lack of heart.
That's right.
And the lack of faith and the lack of
That's
connection
right.
that we're all having with each other.
That's
and,
right.
You know,
well, we've dumbed down, let's face it, Bill, we've dumbed down life. We've done that through the years, literally in the school systems. I've said this for many years now, for 60 plus years now, we've you know, dumbed things down. And I'll just be frank, and I'll say it as it is, guys, between the teachings of evolution and all of the other things that we've done through the years, abortion on down the line, Bill, we've devalued life to where young people today, and let's face it, most of these incidents that we're talking about are committed by young people. They're not committed by 56-year-old guys like you and I, Bill. They're committed by young people
right.
because we've taught them to devalue or not value others' lives.
Exactly. I think it's more, you know, the latter. There's no value. And we've also, the other thing I think that's important to call out there too, John, I'm reading a book right now called The Coddling of the American Mind, and it's basically just, you know, delving into the whole removal of critical thought.
Yes.
And
yes.
Really
doesn't
the
exist.
Creation of the safe spaces.
Yep.
It's
right.
It's very scary.
It really
and
is. No, you're hitting the nail on the head, Bill. Hey, thank you for calling. I appreciate your condolences very much, and I really mean that. And think of all of you guys a lot, you know, as I was going through everything last week, and we've just got a great listening audience. I consider all of you guys, you know, friends, and it's just great to have the support that I know I have, and I really appreciate it very much.
I'll say this just real quick in closing. You know, we're all here, and we're all, hopefully we do something positive while the time that we're here, and I'm sure your brother did.
He
that
did.
Many,
he
many
did.
Times
he left
over.
A huge he left a huge positive imprint upon this world, which I'm very thankful for.
Well, and as you do too, John. I was going to say, you know, we just in your absence, and I'm not taking anything away from Andy and who, you know, the other folks who filled in for you, but you know, you were missed. Your absence on the radio was missed, and so you're doing something for all of your listeners.
I appreciate
whether you realize
that.
It or not. So it's a huge impact. So,
Bill, thank you.
Anyhow, I just
thank
wanted
you.
To say that.
I really appreciate that. I thank you very much, and I do appreciate Andy and everybody filling in. And no, I know it's not the same, but they do a great job. And guys, I do mean that. I really do. Thank you all for doing what you do and just all the kind words you've all sent to me. I do appreciate it very much. A Good Shop is next, and they want to take care of your vehicle no matter what's happened to it, whether it's been in a collision, whether you're looking to just get it fixed up and sold. Whatever it happens to be, A Good Shop is there for you. And don't forget, right now they've got a great special running on the detailing. Actually, yeah, I'm sure they'll still honor that. Give them a call. Ask them today, 720-541-7697, or find them at klzradio.com.
Get your auto body work and mechanical repairs done at the same place. Most people have one shop for auto body work and another for mechanical repairs and maintenance. But Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop can handle both. Al and Jamie Sturm are constantly looking for new ways to provide better, more convenient service for their customers because they're driven by one simple goal, to help more people. At a good shop in North Glen and Commerce City, they do their best to handle everything in-house, so you don't need to be relying on the dealers to get your vehicle back. Bring your vehicle into a good shop for auto body work, and they'll take care of your struts, brakes, and alignment at the same time. Auto body and mechanical work, all under one roof. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A good shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. That does it for today. If you missed the first hour, please catch it next. Tomorrow, Andy and I will have Jordan Goodman on the first hour. And then Curtis Chang, an ex-pastor, is going to join us and talk about Christians and the vaccine and really what should Christians do when it comes to the vaccine. Of course, John Zemirick will join us from stream.org. And Phil Kirpin is going to talk about the lockdowns and how, frankly, they were just totally and are, I should say, totally ineffective and destructive. That'll be tomorrow's Rush to Reason. In the meantime, the first hour is up next. Myself, Charlie, signing off. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.